Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. First segment of our show, we're going to hear from Rudy Getty, the committee chair for this year's ICHA Invitational Soccer Tournament.
So, what can you tell me about what led up to today?
Well, we've got four teams here. It's been a wonderful tournament so far. Everybody's enjoying themselves. We've got a lot of committed players here, and we're really enjoying the day. I mean, it's good times. We can always use more players. So if there's anybody interested out there in the ICHA, look us up. We're always looking for new soccer players.
So, what led you to want to take on the mantle of being this year's committee chair?
Well, it looked interesting. I love working with these athletes. They're a wonderful bunch. They've all got personalities plus, and it's a great opportunity, privilege for me to be out here and help out any which way I can.
So, can you tell me a little about how the games are similar or different to regulation soccer?
Well, we're playing, as opposed to regulation soccer, we're playing indoors. These are, I'm going to call them half courts, half fields. Other than that, we have six players on the field at all times, and as opposed to your norm. And not much different. I mean, you've got a lot of good athletes out there. They're really good soccer players. Nice to see the good soccer being played.
So, has there been any success today that stands out for you among the games?
You mean for the players, or I guess I'm not understanding the question.
Just in general, what's been the greatest high point?
The main point, the best, what I see, what I enjoy, is seeing the players work, and they see the efforts of their work, and they love getting out there. They're being part of the team. They're being social with each other, even between teams, between games. They're being social with each other. It's a win-win. And to me, if these athletes can get out there and make new friends and have a good time today, we're very successful. And I think for the most part, we're doing exactly that.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for programs such as this and equal inclusion, what would you say?
As far as inclusion goes, we work with all the athletes, no matter what their abilities are. We try to enhance in whatever direction they need. It's all individual, but then it's a group effort between all the coaches and other athletes who help out. The biggest hearts on this sport is coming right out of this ICHA. Big hearts, lot of good effort from all the coaches. Can't beat it.
So, do you foresee this event continuing and attracting new teams and shining brighter?
Of course, we've had larger tournaments in the past. Unfortunately, we've had to cut back because of volunteer numbers. We have quite a few volunteers, but for every athlete we have out here, it's nice to see at least one volunteer for every athlete. And so we haven't been able to facilitate the weekend tournaments. So this is a one-day tournament now. It'd be nice to get back to the weekend tournaments, but that, as you can imagine, between the hotels and whatnot, would cost quite a bit difference. So we do what we can.
Thank you for taking the time to do this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So,
in this segment of our show, we'll hear from Carrie Ann Fenn from the Carrie Ann Fenn Foundation. Tell me a little bit about the foundation.
Well, the Carrie Ann Fenn Foundation was established to promote health, to be able to provide support services and resources available for chronic disease management, while educating the public about syringomyelia care malformation and rare diseases.
So, can you tell me a little bit about how these diseases typically affect a person?
Well, basically, a lot of people are affected by neurological issues that they go through. A lot of individuals in their community are affected by different things, such as pain, so there's dizziness, numbness. A lot of people are going around not knowing what they're going through or being misdiagnosed until they get the proper test to be able to know what's going on with their body and be able to do what's needed for them to function within the community.
So, how does the foundation provide specific supports?
We provide a monthly support group meeting in partnership with the HF Public Library. We do a lot of events like our mental health program, which we have one coming up on May 8th, where we have different speakers from different communities, such as Lake Ridge Health, Ontario Shore, Durham Mental Health, and other organizations such as the LGBTQ community, PFLAG. So we have expert that comes on a panel that speaks to the community. We do a breakout session to help support the community emotionally. We're also available with an online support network for individuals to connect with each other, not only in Canada but around the world. We do a lot of advocating for the community, help give voice to those who don't have a voice and help support individuals as they move forward with their diagnosis.
So, how does the community typically respond to this work?
It's an amazing feeling because we've actually even had individuals who drove into our local area from like 5 hours away. It's a recognition that people don't normally have to be able to talk to others that have the same condition or have similar signs and symptoms. It's a gratifying feeling that people are going through feeling like they belong, feeling like they're appreciated, feeling like, you know what, they're not alone. It's just an amazing feeling to actually see individuals come together and know that, you know what, they have some form of support to be able to help them in moving forward.
So, are there any challenges in providing them this help?
Well, the challenges we're facing right now, we need funding from the government and other, whether it's corporation or other resources, we have to keep and grow and maintain what we're doing. Because what's happening now with individuals being diagnosed with so many conditions, there's over 7,000 rare diseases and disorders affecting the community. And the amount of people affected by chronic diseases are very large. What's happening, the first step after a diagnosis, you need to have support to be able to understand, accept, and be able to move forward to the other resources that are available for you to be able to, for you to be able to function. Individuals are not having that. So we're like the next step after diagnosis, to being able to help others to understand, communicate with others, figure out what's going on, and get the resources that they need.
So, in your time with the foundation, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
We did a rare disease expo in 2016 in support of the town of Ajax and another organization, and we put out a call for community members to be able to recognize someone who has shown bravery and courage. And Valerie Heaton was selected, and she received the award. The mayor of Pickering, Mayor Ryan, presented the award to her. What I was most proud about, she passed away from neurofibromatosis, and I was able to attend the ceremony, and when I was there, was able to give a speech. When I walked in, one of the highlights of her life was being able to receive this award from our foundation, which was such an amazing moment for myself because of the fact that as a patient advocate and knowing what others are going through, it's a difficult thing. But to see that we were able to make the difference in this person's life and in their family, being able to recognize what she's been through and the bravery and the courage that she's shown, that was a very proud moment for myself as the founder of the organization.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for programs such as yours, what would you say?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
If you could send a message to the community about the need for services and programs like what's offered by the foundation, what would you say?
Well, I think individuals need to know that once they're diagnosed, they're not alone. There are programs and supports out there. There are people who actually care about them. There are people who want to help them, so they don't have to go through this alone. And what I've discovered throughout the years of being able to help the community is when we come together, together we're stronger, and that's why I always say, together we're stronger.
So, are there any projects or events on the horizon?
Our mental health symposium is one of the things that's coming up, as well as we have a mental health forum, and we're planning for a health expo that's coming up 2019. We're also planning a Durham Mental Health Day at Queen's Park, and we're enhancing our monthly support group meetings that we do in partnership with the HS Public Library, as well as our online support, to make sure that people don't have to go through what they're going through alone.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Next up, we're going to hear a little more about the ICHA tournament from the point of view of the family who was spectating. It's Cam Wells here with
Paul Dallimore,
Nora Dallimore,
and Joe Dominguez.
And they're going to be telling me a little bit about what brought them out to the ICHA soccer tournament this year. So what brings you folks all this way?
My daughter.
Yes, our daughter.
Yeah.
Our daughters, yeah. His daughter, my daughter.
So she's participating with Brampton City.
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
And is this her first year involved? Or?
Oh, God. She hasn't been involved for a couple of years. They asked her to come out, and she saw our old buddies who she hasn't seen for a long time. We were down here maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, we've been in Special Olympics for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you guys know.
We've been in Special Olympics with the Brampton chapter since it basically started it. My sister-in-law basically started the chapter there.
Yeah.
Kristen, we've been coming here for about 4 years now to this tournament.
So
every year.
What are some of the high points for the participants coming in?
Oh goodness, just the bus ride over here with each other, the night at the hotel,
yeah.
And going from room to room, just being with each other. They love to socialize.
Yeah.
They like being with each other. They're very good friends.
Yeah.
So the whole thing's a big adventure for them.
Well, everybody's so friendly, eh?
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, somebody falls and the other teammate will help
That's
them out.
It
it's really
it's
neat.
A, yeah, it's yeah. very, they're competitive, but at the same time, not...
strong sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good sportsmanship, yeah. Which is what impresses me a lot about them. If it was quote-unquote normal people guys, they'd probably be fighting after the game.
Yeah.
These guys are giving each other hugs and high fives.
Yeah,
regardless
that's
if
great.
They lost or won.
It still translates to an outstanding athletic competition, really. I mean, regardless of what might be modified, these players are coming in, they're just putting on a great game.
Oh, yeah, they're out there trying.
They're trying their hardest. They're competing, eh?
I was telling one of the girls, I said, I'm glad it's over. I can start breathing again. You know, you forget to breathe. It gets exciting.
It's such a good program. You know, I found that a big change with outdoor. This is a safe avenue for the kids, for all the special needs to come together. They're enjoying themselves, they're having fun, they're building friendship. It's absolutely a wonderful avenue for them.
So if you could send any message to the community about why programs such as this are important, what would you folks say?
Oh, God.
Where to start with something like that, eh?
Yeah.
Why these programs are important.
It's amazing.
It's got to be... For these kids, for these adults, all ages, it's
camaraderie.
It's great for them. It's an outlet. It's somewhere they can go and not be judged or bullied or anything like that. Or they don't have to worry about any of that. They just go there. They do whatever they want. They act exactly who they are. They have no problems with. That's what it gives them, these types of events, this type of event.
So, in your time attending these, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
It depends how you measure success. I measure success by the social part of it, and how my daughter's made so many friends, their daughter. I think that's what I consider the success. My daughter's gone to the Nationals for track and field. She's been here for the provincial games. I think in 2009 we were here in Windsor for provincial games. She's going to Nova Scotia for the provincial games again. But still, I give more value to the amount of friends and people she's met in these programs than her actual success at the event that she tries, right?
For an athlete, it's more a matter of life, really. The games are great, but the friendships and the bonds you create, those just transcend. Thank you all very much for taking the time to do this.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for interviewing.
Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Brain injury is the leading killer and disabler of people under the age of 44 and kills more people under the age of 20 than any other causes combined. Texting or talking on a cell phone while operating a motorized vehicle can lead to serious car crashes, brain injuries, or death. Take the pledge and help put a stop to distracted driving. Go to idontpledge.com to make a pledge to drive only. Never text. Everyone deserves to travel on our roads and communities without the fear of a distracted driver.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about the ICHA Invitational Soccer Tournament and about the Carrie and Fenn Foundation. This next segment of our show, we'll hear about Art Beyond Sight from Elizabeth Axel. So, what can you tell me about Art Beyond Sight?
Hi, Cam. So first, thank you very much for having me on your program.
My pleasure.
I founded Art Beyond Sight 30 years ago. I had my own experience with vision loss. I was legally blind for a period of time due to encephalitis. And while I regained my vision, the experience stayed front of mind because my grandmother, who I was very close to, she had vision loss due to retinitis pigmentosa. And so as she was losing her vision, I was getting older and getting more involved with the art world that she had also been a part of. She was an artist herself and drew as well as designed her own clothing and actually worked as a personal shopper in Bloomingdale's. But that's neither here nor there. What what happened in terms of Art Beyond Sight, CAM, is my grandmother and I together founded this organization, and we were very interested in what a blind person, including a congenitally blind person, could gain in appreciation from what other people thought was the visual world. And we knew to be accessible through touch, through words, through alternative means. So Art Beyond Sight was founded to understand and to document what a blind person's brain was hardwired to do, even if they were congenitally blind, and also what a blind person, including a congenitally blind person, was able to do in terms of their own self-expression, whether it be through sculpture or through creating, painting, and drawing, which we also believed and were proved right that any person who would like to can paint and draw.
So, in your time with Art Beyond Sight, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
I think a success moment, Cam, is that majority of the world today knows that this is fact, you know? I was Dr. Jernigan, who was one of the National Federation for the Blind presidents that I so admired. Dr. Jernigan said to me, go off, see what, make things available to blind people, let it be their choice. Success moment is that we've got a lot of choices now, and that's ever increasing. So I'm really happy that when the person who's blind wakes up on a Sunday morning and is looking for something to do, there are ever-increasing options. As National Federation of the Blind says, it's not blindness that holds you back. You know?
So how does the community respond to the art created by these visually impaired artists?
It's a really good question, Cam. The arts are a tough realm for anybody to crack professionally. And I think we've seen that it has been a tough realm for professional blind artists to gain traction in. The but is that we are absolutely seeing that there are important blind artists now who are receiving arts community as well as general public community appreciation and success. I'll call to your attention John Bramblett, Texas artist who I was just speaking with yesterday. I mean, his work is awesome and huge. Building-wide, huge murals. He's doing another big mural that will be going up in Texas soon. It's astounding what John does, not only in terms of his creative process that he invented, but also his artwork is just beautiful. Similarly, I think that people have, gained appreciation for blind photographers' work. And again, that there are some photographers who are blind who are achieving that level of critical success.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Of course.
Art's a funny thing, my friends. Doesn't matter who created it or how it was created. But it matters how it impacts you. It matters that it reaches you. For those in Art Beyond Sight, I think that's what it all comes down to. Coming up with a creative expression that reaches somebody. For an artist, that's what matters. In fact, for anyone, a person with a disability isn't just living to be inspirational every moment of every day. They're living to do what comes naturally to them. Whether it be an artist, or an athlete, or an office manager. Whether their disability affects their eyes, their ears, how they move, how they speak, what have you. They simply want to live included, respected, and valued, as with any other member of the community. Truth is, it's a difficult balance to find. You go out, you tell somebody you're going to see an art show created by someone with a vision impairment. They might expect that to be mediocre. They might dismiss it as just pity appreciation. But how can they know that until they take that step? Until they actually get in there and see what it is, what's been created. Yeah. Fact is, we might tend to have what you might call sympathy towards an artist with a disability. Is to say, oh, it's amazing they did this. But no. It is art. It is to be appreciated. It is to be interpreted. Therefore, it should be taken for the value of what it is, not blown out of proportion because someone with a disability created it. The fact is, they simply expressed what was in their heart, what was in their soul. And yes, it may inspire people. It may. But that is not the primary reason a person with a disability should live with dignity and strength. They should do so because we're all entitled to that consideration. We are all entitled to that respect and understanding. To be a part of the community. To be valued. Not to be placated. But to be understood. If you're someone with the story of disability life, right? HandyLink 4. HANDILINK. The numeral 4. @gmail.com. One of the great things I find about disability life is these myths about it, what can and cannot be done, they don't hold any water. They just don't. Because as soon as someone decides to challenge a precept, they find something can be done, something can be created. A blind artist could never be back in the Renaissance era. Look at it today. Why is it possible? Because somebody challenged yesterday's myths with tomorrow's truths. Somebody decided to go beyond. Somebody decided to live proudly and with strength, courage, to say, this person has a voice to be heard. This person has a contribution. Yeah, they may do things a little differently than I do. So what? Show me two artists who work in exactly the same way. Fact is, people must always take that step forward. Challenge the unknown. Don't just accept that a disability is going to do this, that, and the other. It's a baseline. It is not to be taken as it will affect everyone in the same way. Medical science, for all it can do, cannot factor in human strength. What a person might be motivated to do if they feel they have something to live for and something to believe in. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.